104.5 The Zone, 934 The Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop alongside. I'm Kevin Ingram. Jonathan Schaefer, our producer. Bring in longtime friend of the show, the voice of the Commodores, Joe Fisher. Joe, what's going on this morning?
Kevin, how are you?
I'm good, man. Did you ever think, like back when you and Mark were competing for stories in TV, that we'd be talking about Mark getting a pedicure, which led to a poll question and everything else on our show?
No, I think that takes it to a level I never imagined.
Yeah. Not up or down.
Sorry I disappointed you, Joe.
I didn't say I was surprised. I just said I didn't manage it.
I know.
Right. Joe, last night, really nice win for Vanderbilt at Louisville. And that's become a great rivalry over the years. They play in the midweek every year and oftentimes in the postseason, too. How much can a win like that one help this team's national seeding, here in a few weeks when those things come together?
I think, Kevin, in some circumstances, it certainly doesn't hurt, but I think Vanderbilt has kind of already solidified itself in terms of the national seed. And talking to Tim Corbin about it before the game, I said it's nice to be at a point where you can play this game and it really doesn't have a major impact on you either way. If you win it or lose it, it doesn't really have a negative or a positive effect on you. It's great to win it, obviously, to go on the road and beat a number six ranked team. But if you lose that game, as for example, I'm sure Louisville will say right now, okay, we lost the number two team in the country, that shouldn't hurt us. And your RPI goes up. To be in a position to be in a program where you can schedule a game like that and not worry about the impact of it, win or lose, I think is very important. And Tim even talked about it. He said, if you're a team that's got 27, 28 wins and you're looking and saying, man, we need wins, you don't want this game scheduled. To be confident as a program to be able to play this year to year and be comfortable with it, I think is a big step for both of these programs, actually.
I've seen quite a few of the games in person. You've seen pretty much all of them. How remarkable has it been to watch this unreal season put together by Austin Martin, who's been hitting over 400, and J.J. Bleday has just been off the charts, with a record-setting year in home runs, and really just great across the board.
I thought about it last night. Austin came to the plate, 1-for-3 in the game, and I said, oh, my gosh, his average, is going to go down. He's batting like 427 at this point. And then he gets a base hit. Now, okay, suddenly he's 2-for-4. When he comes to the plate, you expect him at least to put the ball in play. I mean, he's done a wonderful job at the plate all year long. And I think the cool thing about it is you see a lot of guys that put up gaudy numbers in non-conference play. And then they get into conference play, and things trim down quite a bit. That's not been the case at all. He's batting 400 in SEC play. He has just been as consistent as you can possibly be all year long. And I think a big part of it is, and I think a big part of the success of this team, is there are so many hitters in this lineup, you can't pitch around anybody. J.J. Bleday, I think, has been a beneficiary of that. And as a result, he's a guy, now leads the nation in home runs, leads the conference in home runs and RBI. He bats 350. He plays tremendous defense. He's got a great arm in right field. I had a writer in South Carolina tell me after we swept the Gamecocks in the 3-game series, he said, I've got a real problem. He said, I've got to vote. Who do you vote for the Golden Spikes Award? Do you vote for Austin Martin or J.J. Bleday? And I said, that's a nice problem to have, but that's the situation we're in.
Visiting with the voice of the Commodores, Joe Fisher.
Yes, Joe, man. How would you, or I guess, do you compare this team to any of the previous teams, and how good does this team stack up?
It's interesting, Blaine. I've started thinking about that, and I haven't asked him that yet. And I think that's something you probably don't do until the season ends.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, as you know, it comes down to what did you accomplish? What did this team prove? This team certainly is now putting itself in position to be considered among the best that them has ever had for a couple of reasons. One is what I touched on a moment ago, the hitting throughout the lineup. There's not a weakness in the lineup 1-9. I think that's been a big strength for this team all year long. And certainly with the resurgence of Julian Infante, the senior in the number 9 spot in the lineup, who's now become a very dangerous hitter. Again, there's not anybody you can pitch around in this lineup. So I think that's one thing that comes into play. Instead of compare it, I would think you start to compare it to the teams in 2007, the team that everybody thought was built for great success and unfortunately got upset in the regional. And then you're going to start looking at 2014 and 2015, you know, the two teams that went all the way to the World Series final. And I guess what will come is we'll see how it plays out with these guys. They have the capability. They have the elements to be put in that category. It's just going to come down to if they're able to finish it off.
Yeah, and Joe, you look at what happened to Arkansas last year, and my only worry about this team is can they get those last few tough outs? The bullpen is the one question mark on this team, isn't it?
Well, it was coming in, and it had blips at times. Lately, it's been pretty solid. Now, there have been, I know Kim was a little disappointed in the Friday game at South Carolina when the bullpen let some runs score. But he even admitted after the game, when you're leading 22-8, you probably don't have a great focus, you know, going out there because the game is over and you give away a couple of runs, you know, because you're not totally focused. This team last night, I think, proved, for example, you lined up Louisville and Vanderbilt together, and the difference in the game to me was the bullpen pitching because the Commodores sent in A.J. Franklin and Tyler Brown and shut down Louisville. Louisville sent in 9 pitchers by the time that I was done. You know, they had 2 bases loaded, walks in the bullpen. To me, that was the difference in the game. So I think the bullpen is now at a point where I think they're pretty confident. Tyler Brown is a right-handed stopper. They like Hugh Fisher and Jake Eaters, left-handers, and they've got several of them in the bullpen. That's been another thing I've watched this year. There are a number of SEC teams that have very little left-handed pitching. And it's cost them dearly. Florida comes to mind. As Vanderbilt has plenty of left-handers in the bullpen. So they've got the versatility, and I think they now have the confidence that they think they're pretty good in that situation.
Joe, we'll shelve basketball because there's too much I know you can't talk about in terms of recruiting and transfers. But I want to ask you about football because, you know, I looked at the mock drafts and, you know, they are what they are. But it was kind of neat to see Keyshawn Vaughn and Kalijah Lipscomb mention, you know, as, you know, first, second, or third round draft picks. And it just comes to mind that this team, this offense, has as many weapons as, you know, I can remember. You know, you got your tight end coming back. You've got, you know, other good targets. How is Jerry Gadowski going to approach this? I know the offensive line is a little bit of a question, but I hope, you know, he has a mind to open this thing up and because they could be really fun to watch.
I think they could, Mark. I think the first thing you got to do is settle the quarterback issue, which is not totally settled yet. That's the first thing they'll address in the fall. But I thought about that the other day, in fact, Mark. I thought about, boy, the draft next year could be the most prolific draft Vanderbilt's ever had. I mean, if you have a Kalijah Lipscomb and a Keyshawn Vaughn and a Jared Pitney, and you might be able to throw one or two more in there as well, it could be quite a drafting class for Vanderbilt. But I think what they have to come down to now is those two things that you mentioned. One, the offensive line. They've got to solidify that and make sure they give him a little bit of time, whoever that him is. That's the other, and I hope this doesn't go down to being a quarterback battle that isn't decided until the week of the game. You know, I would like to think they could settle it early in fall camp and then settle in and say, okay, this is our guy. This is what we're going to build around. This is how we're going to go. And spend a couple of weeks in fall practice building toward that. If they can do that, I've been thinking about it. It could be a lot of fun because I can't remember a time when they've had as many weapons out there available as they will have this coming year.
Joe, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it.
Always good to be with you guys.
You too.
See you, Joe.
See you. With the Commodores, Joe Fisher joining us here on the Wake Up Zone. A little football, quite a bit of baseball as the Commodores ranked in the top 5 in all the national polls. They have Missouri coming up this weekend over at Hawkins Field.